invite you to open your Bible in Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the first chapter. And we want to read together just a few verses from this chapter of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at the verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at the verse 12. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, said, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am sent for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We'll end the reading there to verse 21, and we know that God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts. I do want to say once again a word of thanks to Dr. Paisley for the invitation of being able to come back home to my own home church and to be able to preach the Word of God. And I look back over the years since I've been saved, came to know Dr. Paisley, and what a blessing and influence for good he has always been in my life. And I get called to the ministry through his preaching. One Sunday morning he was preaching on the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying the bow, turned back in the day of battle. And he pointed to the gallery and he said, "Young man, is God going to write over your life that you turn back in the day of battle, or are you going to go through with God?" And sitting in the gallery that morning, I renewed my vows unto the Lord, and I surrendered to the Lord. I went home, told an old brethren aunt that I had, Aunt Mina. She was a great saint of God. And I said to her, "Aunt Mina, I believe God's calling me into the ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church." And she looked down her nose and her glasses, and she says, "You're going to join up with Ian Paisley. God help you, son, you'll never be out of trouble." And that was the encouragement that I got then. And there have been good times, hard times, but through it all, Dr. Paisley has been a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and I want to thank him for his encouragement in the Lord's work. Now, I've been told tonight of a very brief, very short, and to keep it to the point. And, of course, I'm like that anyway. But different if you had the Reverend John Douglas, or if you had the Reverend Alan Smiley, you would be saying the summer has passed, and what have you. But I want to leave with you tonight a little verse that you will find tucked away at the end of our scripture reading. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, when Paul shares a word of testimony, that's one of the marks of a person who knows Christ as their Savior. C.T. Studd said on one occasion that salvation is like smallpox. You cannot help but pass it on or give it to others. And that was the mark of the Apostle Paul, that no matter where he went or who he met, Paul was always never ashamed of the gospel and was always speaking a word of testimony for his Lord and Savior. And if you were to ask me for a text or for a verse that summed up the life and times and testimony of the great Apostle Paul, I would have to say that I believe that it is this verse when Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And here in this short, simple, straightforward sentence, Paul here shares with us the meaning of life and what the Lord Jesus Christ meant to him. Now, as you look at these words, there are three things that I want to share with you this evening. And you'll notice, first of all, that we have a decision that was wise. Paul here speaks of a decision that was wise. He says, "For to me, to live is Christ." Now, of course, as you read the Word of God, you will find that as you turn over the pages of Holy Scripture, that Paul couldn't always say, "For to me, to live is Christ." Indeed, when you read about Paul in the New Testament, in the book of the Acts, for the first time, we find that he is known as Saul of Tarsus. And that was a name that struck fear into the hearts of those who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we find that Paul, on the road to Damascus, with a heart filled with hatred for those who had taken up their cross to follow Christ, that suddenly, gloriously, unexpectedly, we find that Saul of Tarsus meets with the risen Christ. You'll remember from the book of Acts chapter 9 how that Saul was thrown to the ground and he saw the splendor of the brightness of the sun and he cried out, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And then Paul went on to say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And there on the road to Damascus, he made the greatest decision that a man or woman or a young person can ever make this side of eternity. When he knelt at the foot of the old rugged cross, the risen Christ, and there he made that decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. Now as you journey through life from the cradle to the grave, you'll discover that life is made up of decisions, some more important than others. And we find from the Word of God that the most important decision that a man or woman can ever make is the decision to receive Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. I remember reading one night about D.L. Moody, the great evangelist. He came to the end of the service and he was preaching and those tremendous words, "What then shall I do with Jesus which is called the Christ?" And Moody at the end of the service made an evangelistic appeal for souls as he normally did. And he felt that he should press the matter home. And he said again, "Men and women and young people tonight in this audience, you've got to answer the question, what then shall I do with Jesus which is called the Christ?" And suddenly an old grey-haired man stepped into the aisle and started to walk down with tears. And he cried out in the front of that large crowd at the end of the meeting, "Mr. Moody, Mr. Moody, I'll take Jesus home with me. I'll take Jesus home with me." And that night that old man closed in with the offer of God's so great salvation. And that night he came to know Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. I wonder tonight, can you say, "O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God." Can you say with that little chorus, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." Oh, a decision that was wise, the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. I wonder tonight, have you made that decision? Can you look back to a moment, to an hour, to a day, to a night in your experience when you could say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Oh, a decision that was wise. He made life's wisest decision, and that was to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. But then you'll notice that it was not only a decision that was wise, but we learn from the Word of God that it was a dedication that was wholehearted. You see, Paul was not only converted to Christ, but he was consecrated to the Savior. He was not only saved by the Lord, but he was surrendered to the Lord. And from the moment he was saved, he put us all on the altar, and he was able to say, "For to me, to live is Christ. From this moment on, I'm going to live my life out to the full for my Lord and Master, Jesus Christ." Christ became the center of his life and the whole purpose of his existence. I wonder tonight, do you know anything of a dedication that is wholehearted? Have you surrendered your all to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we need to learn the lesson that there is only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Jesus will last. I shared a little bit of testimony this evening. But you know, when I was a teenager growing up in Belfast, I loved sport, and the sport I was involved in was judo. I was a member of the Ulster Judo Club, and I used to go 5 nights from Monday to Friday training and practicing judo, and my ambition was to obtain a black belt and to become a judo instructor. But you know, God had other plans. And I could remember after training and getting cold spiritually, I could no longer say, "For to me to live is Christ, but for me to live is judo." And the Lord was pushed back into the corner of my life, so to speak. Then one day I took seriously ill, and eventually the doctor was sent for. And I could remember old Dr. Gorman standing at the end of the bed, and he looked at my mother and he said, "It's either a typhoid or some kind of paralysis he's taken. He's very seriously ill." And I recall being taken into hospital and being in Belfast City Hospital. And you know, when you're on your back, you get time to look up. And I can honestly say this tonight, I was not afraid to die, because I knew it was well with my soul. But while I was not afraid to die, I was ashamed to die, because I knew that if I met my Lord and Master, I was like the fig tree, nothing but leaves for to be sent to the Savior. No fruit that remained for his honor and for his glory. You remember lying in a hospital bed, but looking eternity in the face. And I said, "Lord, if you answer prayer and you raise me up out of this hospital bed, I'm finished with the judo. It's Christ for me. Christ for me." Amen. That time in the hospital, I got restored back to the Lord. And it was shortly after then that I heard God's call through the Lord's servant into full-time service. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Though I can say tonight with the great C.H. Spurgeon, "If I had 1,000 lives, I would give them all to Christ." But you know, the reality is you don't have 1,000 lives. You have only one life. No wonder can you say tonight, "For to me, to live is Christ." What are you living for? You know, some time ago I was reading the life story of Onassis, the Greek multi-millionaire who married one of the Kennedys, Jacqueline Kennedy. And when he came towards the end of Onassis' life story, it's very tragic, because he confessed to a friend towards the end of his life that as he looked back, a multi-millionaire, and he said this, "I have just been a machine for making money." And he realized it soon that he was going to have to leave it all behind. Oh, beloved tonight, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and at the end lose his own soul? But you know, the Word of God reminds us that he that doeth the will of God, listen, liveth and abideth forever. Oh, a dedication that was wholehearted. Paul put us all on the altar, and he was sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. C.T. Studd said that if Jesus Christ be God and gave himself for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Could I say to young people tonight, it's not your ability God wants, it's your availability. And if you're available and you're willing to put your loaves and your fishes on the altar for God, God can take them up and he can use them. Amen. For his glory and honor, and make you a vessel fit for the master's service. Oh, a dedication that was wholehearted, a decision that was wise. But you notice here that there's also, as Paul comes to the end of this text, not only speaks of a decision that was wise and a dedication that was wholehearted, but Paul speaks of a destination that was wonderful, a destination that was wonderful. Now, think of for a moment, Paul here is in a Roman prison. Very soon, possibly, he's going to be led out to be martyred, to be beheaded for the sake of the gospel of Christ. He's in a dark, smelly, rat-infested dungeon as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, as he looks down the valley of the shadow of death, there's perfect peace. There's no fear. And he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The best is yet to be for the child of God. Amen. What a contrast for the man or woman or young person who is outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no destination that is wonderful. But alas, instead of heaven, there's hell. And there's a lost eternity.
Yes.
You know, I think of a man who professed to be an atheist, brought his family up to be atheist, to believe in nothing. No God, no Bible, no heaven, no hell. And when you die, you just go into the grave like an animal. But you know, his lovely daughter was cut down with illness, with sickness. And eventually they became aware of the fact that she was not going to recover. She was going to die. And she was on her deathbed. And just some hours before she died, she turned to her daddy. And her daddy, with all his unbelief, he loved his daughter more than anything else in this old world. And the little girl, full of sickness and pain, she looked up. And she said, "Daddy, Daddy, why did you lie? Why did you tell me lies, Daddy?" And Daddy was stunned and he was shocked. He turned to his girl on her deathbed and he says, "Dear," he says, "Daddy loves you. I've never told you a lie in my life. I've always told you the truth." And the young girl looked up on her deathbed and she said, "Daddy, you lied. You lied. You told me there's no hell, but there is a hell. And I can feel its flames. And I'm going out into eternity lost. Oh, Daddy, why did you lie? Why did you lie?" Oh, I want to tell you, friend, on the authority of God's infallible word, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. It's either heaven or hell for eternity. I remember some years ago we'd been in Greenville, South Carolina, out there with the church. It was vacant, and Anna and I went out with the children over Christmas. And one morning a letter arrived, and Anna opened it and she started to read it, and then I saw the tears. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she handed me the letter. And it was concerning a lovely lady that we knew, Ethel Poots, sister, Annie Poots, rather. And Annie was a sister of Ethel Poots. And Annie had been a faith mission pilgrim for many years and loved the Lord and had served the Lord, and a great gospel singer, a godly woman, if ever there was a godly woman. And it told in the letter that Annie has got cancer. She hasn't long to live. And you know, we were devastated, for we loved Annie. And I remember when I got home, I said, well, first thing I've got to do is got to go and see Annie. Made my way around to the farmhouse where she was staying and with her sister and went in. And every day, almost without fail, I went in and I read and I prayed with Annie and I held her hand as she was slipping down into the valley of the shadow of death. And just a day before she died, I went round to the house and Annie was lying there. She had lovely long grey hair and she was propped up in the pillow and she was comfortable. And her sister said to me, you know, I don't know if Annie will know you or not, Mr. Barnes, she's so low. And I went into the room and I said, hello, Annie. And Annie opened her eyes and she just said this, hallelujah, brother, he's still with me, he's still with me. And Annie Wilson could say, I would have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died for my sin to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. What about you, friend? You come to the river of death when you've got to say goodbye to this old world. Will you be able to say with Paul, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. You see, it not only pays to be a Christian in life, but thank God it pays also to be a believer in death. For the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, I trust tonight if you're here and you're not saved, oh, come to Christ. I would say with Bunyan tonight, 1,000 welcomes to Jesus. And here, if you're here tonight and you're a believer and you've got cold and you're like Peter following afar off, oh, come and renew your vows unto the Lord. Give your life to the Lord and you'll find that God gives his very best to those who give his best to him. May the Lord write his precious word upon our hearts. Amen.